What's up, everybody? Hey, I want to welcome you to Engaging Heaven today. I need to tell you that you were created for the supernatural. God has a plan for your life. In the next few moments, we're going to feed your spirit. We're going to cut through the fluff and get to the stuff. You're rocking with Engaging Heaven today. Good morning, everybody. What's going on? Thank you for tuning in. Here we are, Engaging Heaven today. Listen, as always, subscribe and review us on iTunes. Let me know where you're listening from. I love the Instagram story feeds. Put me on it. I'll retweet it or I'll let other people know about it. I love the support we're getting from all around the world. And now still the top three states is Connecticut, Florida. Florida is big on this podcast in California. So thank you all for tuning in. Of course, we are all over the world on this broadcast. Thank you. It's really your investment. We're approaching a year coming up. We got some exciting things in store for that. Thank you for joining us on this journey. I want to talk today about taking the land. The land, quotations, can be whatever you want it to be. What is a promised land? A land that God has promised you that you can have. You may be listening today going, I don't really have a promised land. I don't know what taking a land would mean. Great, then start reading the word, because in his word, you find his will. For instance, it's God's will that we're not anxious and full of fear. Then a promised land for you would be complete joy in the Holy Ghost. It's God's plan for you that you're not going to be broke and depressed and frustrated. Then guess what? A promise for you is Deuteronomy 28, that the blessing of the Lord would overtake your life. There you go. There's a promised land that you got to begin to hold on to. Maybe it's for your marriage. See, look. Here's how promises work. I want the promise that God has for me in my personal life, right? Then you start thinking bigger. How's my family going to take a promised land? Then you start to think bigger. How are the people God's connected me to going to help us take a promised land? Then you start to think bigger. How is a church community? How is a city going to take the promises of God? And then let's talk about the nation, right? The way to see this nation completely transformed is not slinging mud every day. Look, I know in Christianity, it's really cool not to be Republican. You guys are all weird. This has nothing to do with politics. You want to see this nation transformed? It's going to be prayer, fasting, witnessing, letting God move. And that's the only way this nation is going to change. It's not going to change by politics and yelling about a crazy president or being a man. You've already drank the Kool-Aid. You want the promised land? Find the promises of God and believe that he's going to take you to a greater place in your life. David, we're going to read this story. We might cover, there's so much to cover in the next few episodes, so you're going to lock in with me. David, essential figure in the Bible, right? David is mentioned 600 times in the Old Testament. He's mentioned about 60 in the New. We join this story, right? Israel isn't even Israel. The whole thing's in shambles. There's like 12 tribes. They're all at odds, right? The north and south are fighting. Jerusalem, as we know it, isn't Jerusalem. Now it's called the city of the Jebusites, right? So there's these crazy giants that basically own it. David is a king over a little area called Hebron. He could have stayed there, like Columbus yesterday's episode could have stayed in Spain. He could have stayed in Hebron. Now, David is being told that the city of the Jebusites will never be taken. I mean, this could be Jerusalem. It would be the city of David, right? Eventually. He's being told it'll never happen. You're never going to take the land. But David does something at 17 that flipped everybody's lid. Let's rewind the tape. At this point, David's about 37 in our story. We're going to rewind till he's about 17. David is tending sheep, right? Goliath comes, you know the whole story. David ends up killing Goliath, the giant, right? I think it's 1 Samuel 16. David kills Goliath, right? He kills the giant. And David, as you know, kills the giant. And here's what he does. He decapitates his head. He cuts the head off Goliath. And then everybody's wondering what this newfound shepherd boy, kind of like giant slayer, is going to do, right? David, at 17, had enough craziness, and here's what he did. He picks up the head, and he walks this, like, bloody head through town, and he walks 18 miles. I mean, can you imagine this? A boy slays a giant. And first of all, they laughed and said he wasn't going to be able to do it, right? Oh, who are you doing? And David was like, who are these uncircumcised Philistines? Think they're going to defy? He's a little boy. The brothers were laughing at him even to think he could fight. And David says something so powerful. He goes, is there not a cause? And the Bible says that he said it again and got the same response, which was probably nothing, because who's arguing with a little boy full of fire saying, what, here, is there not a cause? So we see in this picture is going to be crazy for us, but it starts out as David as a little boy, as of this mighty deliverer. And he throws the stones, the giant falls down, he decapitates his head, and then he takes this bloody head, he walks 18 miles on foot with Goliath's head in his hand. And what he did next, nobody saw coming. I'm going to tell you about it after the break. You're rocking with Engaging Heaven today.
Hey everyone, Rebecca here. We want to thank you for tuning into the Engaging Heaven Today podcast. As always, please subscribe to our daily devotionals. And when you get a moment, leave feedback and let others know how you're being blessed. You can find more information at www.engagingheaven.com.
What's up, everybody? We're back. We're talking about David and taking the land. Ultimately, you're going to take the land in your life. But we got so much to cover. Let's just jump back in. So David is walking through this town, 18 miles, and here's what he does. Nobody thought he would do it. He takes the head and he puts Goliath's skull on the fence post outside of the city of the Jebusites at 7, and then he leaves. And people are like, what? Almost to say, I'll be back. Almost to say, nobody in Israel thinks we'll ever own that land. And I'm telling you that the God that gave me this skull is going to give me that city one day. 17 years old. Can you even imagine? But we pick up this story in 2 Samuel 5 and it gets a little crazy. David now doesn't even fully realize what he did. It's fast forward, right? Now he's about 30. So it's been almost 15, 20 years. David now is looking at that land. They're telling David, I think you can take it. David's now wondering, but here's the problem. It was like psychological warfare. You know how like your uncle caught a fish that's maybe 3 inches long, and by the time it comes to your family, you said that the uncle caught a fish that was like 3 feet long? That's what happened in the minds of the people of Israel. The city of the Jebusites, they've been told from a little boy, you'll never conquer that. And then so when you read 2 Samuel 5, it says 3 times, if you try to come here, the lame and the blind will repel you. That's what it says in 2 Samuel. 3 times. You come up here, the lame and the blind will repel you. And it's going to get morbid, but this is what happened. The city of the Jebusites, here's what they did. The Jebusites put like mannequins, like dummies, hanging them off pulleys over the same gate that Goliath ended up getting his head on. One was blind, and his name was Isaac. And they mocked the fathers of Israel. This was your father. He died. The Bible said he was blind. The other was Jacob. Remember, Jacob wrestled with the angel and got the hip problem? Well, theologians will tell you that he never actually could walk at the end of his life. So they're literally looking at Israel, and all day and night, they're flinging these pulleys up and down, saying, you're blind and you're lame. You'll never touch our city. This is the best you'll ever be. And everybody in Israel started believing the lie. They started going, yeah, we could. Every time you even thought about taking it, there's that lying dummy again saying, you'll never do it. This is your inheritance. And they'd all back off. Well, then sometimes they'd light the dummies on fire and just at night to remind everybody, don't come up here. The blame and the lime will repel you. What happened to your forefathers, you'll end up being blind and you'll end up being lame if you ever try to take this land. Let me tell you something. You will never take the land that God has for you if you can't overcome the lying devils. You'll never take the land. The promised land for your life is this this thing in your mind that God's going to do for you. And every time you look at it, trust me, there's something there that the enemy's going, you do this, this is what I'll end up with you. You'll never do this because this is who you really are. This is who your family is. This is who your forefathers are. And what it takes to overcome those lies, what it takes to overcome, you know, and can you even imagine David standing there going, look, I took Goliath's head and put it up there. You can hang those mannequins off all you want, but I'm going greater. And here's a couple things. I mean, we can go so far in this story, but here's where we need to park today. Here's today's lesson. There's two things. David could have got stuck at Hebron, and he didn't. He went for more. Are you stuck in your Hebron today? Because that's going to hold you back from the promised land. Are you comfortable? Because let me tell you something, David. Hebron is what you could do. The city of the Jebusites is what only I can do. And God is calling you to break out of your Hebron today and decide to go for greater land. We talked about it yesterday, restoring our curiosity, believing that we're going to go to levels unknown in God. So that's the first thing we get today, is that you have got to break out of your Hebron. The second thing, you have to overcome the lies of the enemy. I remember when I got born again, I was kind of in a traditional spirit-filled church, not really radical, but I was reading a lot of books on miracles, right? I was in my house. My mother's been born deaf, scleroderma, rheumatoid arthritis, osteoporosis, little 4'9" Italian woman. I was in my kitchen and I heard a voice say to me, if you can't see your own mother healed, don't you ever go out on these streets and pray for people. Let me tell you, bro, I was shook for a second. I was like, dang, dog, that's pretty intense. And then the more I came to myself, I said, no, devil, that's not how it works. His blood paid for this. So I'm not going to earn my mother's healing and I'm not going to earn your healing. God paid for this on the cross and I curse you. And I ran out on those streets and saw thousands of miracles. Look, you have to overcome that lying devil. What is your deaf mother? You need to overcome your deaf mother. You need to overcome your lying, lame, and blind caricature hanging on that, because every one of you has one. There's a land God's calling you to. And every time you look at it, let me tell you, the devil has your dummy there. And there is a caricature, there is a deaf mother, there is somebody stopping you from where you're trying to go. And today, you're going to look at that and begin to take that land. This week, we begin to unpack the things that God's going to give you to take that land that he's calling you to, because he's calling you to greatness. Father, we thank you today for breakthrough. We thank you that we're breaking out of our Hebron and we'll go into the land that you've called us to. And we curse every lie and every dummy blocking us from where you're calling to us to go. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. We got a great week in store.
On behalf of Pastor James Levesque, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Engaging Heaven Today podcast. If you're ever in the Connecticut area, join us at Engaging Heaven Church. We're the one church with two locations, New London and West Haven. For more details, go to our website at www.engagingheaven.com.